Preston, well, we're so glad you're here. Would you stand with us in worship? Good to see you this morning. Sing together, I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
honor this morning. Sing.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now.
This is our God.
This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. What he does, he saves us. Born the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Hey. We remember.
Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely. Every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us.
That is the God that we serve, who sent his son to live for us, live a perfect life for us, die on the cross for your sin, for my sin, to defeat death, to rise again and sit at the right hand of his Father. He is living there today. He is watching us. He's singing along with us. And you, if you are a believer, if you have started your relationship with Jesus, you have been raised from death to life as well. And if you don't know Jesus, you get an opportunity today to start your relationship with him, and eternity is changed forever. Welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad that you're here. Before we do anything else today, would you find someone close to you, say hello to them, introduce yourself. All right. You can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to celebrate with one another through believers' baptism.
Well, amen, church family. We have 9 that are coming to be baptized. And I just want to share this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We were standing here. This is Isaac Sanchez. And Isaac just said to me as he looked out at all of you, he said, "This is beautiful. This is beautiful." Isaac, God bless you. This is Isaac Sanchez.
And this is Alex Richardson.
Isaac and Alex, because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Samuel Dos Santos. Come on out here, Samuel.
There you go, buddy. All right. And this is Christy Hutchinson.
Samuel, Christy, because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a precious moment here as we have a son coming with his mom. This is Jacob Inkelbarger.
And this is Sandy Inkelbarger.
Jacob, Sandy, coming together as a family of faith. Because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And continuing with this family, this is Sandy's mother-in-law and Jacob's grandmother, Judy Inkelbarger. God bless you, Judy. Come right here. Come right here. And come stand right here by me.
And this is Samantha Wilson.
Judy and Samantha, because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That are coming this morning. Isn't it good to see the waters of baptism moving today, church? This is Lourdes Madrid. Lourdes, because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you, our sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Hey, church family, keep clapping. We are clapping for the newness of life that comes only through Jesus, the transformation. Now, how incredible is that? A mom, a grandmother, and a son, 3 generations of a family changed by the grace and the glory of God. That's worth another hand clap. Am I right? That young man looking out here with tears in his face saying, "That is beautiful." The worship of God, God's people, the baptism, the changing of a life. That is beautiful to the glory of God and his praise. Amen? Oh, my God. Well, welcome to worship. If you can't tell, I'm excited and I'm fired up that you are here and that this morning is going to be transformational in your life today. Thank you to everyone watching online all over the world. We are grateful and thankful that you've made this a priority in your Sunday morning. So lean in, grab a cup of coffee. Thank you to every guest, every visitor, every member that's here this morning. Please let us know a little bit about yourself. If you would just text the word CONNECT to 74788, we would love to get to know you a little bit better, find out how we can serve you. If you have any prayer needs, anything, you can let us know there at 74788. Just text the word CONNECT. So thank you for joining us. And church family, we want to let you know about an exciting project that we just begun here on our campus down in the area between the Christian Academy, Prestonwood Christian Academy, and the church. We have a pond. Yeah, we got some pictures here where we're building an amphitheater and a prayer garden. Yeah, give God a hand clap. Yeah, if you're going to yell, you might as well yell a little bit louder. There's the pond. It looks out toward the school facing to the west. going to be an incredible time for us to gather to praise God, thankful for the generosity of a family who wanted to honor their mom, who was a prayer warrior, who loved this church, who prayed for our church, who prayed for our pastor, and we're putting this amphitheater and prayer garden into the glory of God. So be praying for that project. Exciting, exciting time. So much to be thankful for, church family. Stay faithful in your giving. 2 Corinthians encourages us. We don't have to give. We don't give out of obligation, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And God has given us so much. So let's return to him. And we know he deserves our very best. Would you pray with me? And we'll continue in worship this morning. Father God, we love you. And we thank you. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the word that you've given our pastor this morning. That the will of God, that your plans for us, the best version of who we are, is when we submit and we surrender ourselves to you, Father God, and you guide and you direct our paths. So speak this morning through our pastor, through the word that you have given him. We're grateful and we're thankful. Thankful for your word and all of your promises, God, that are yes and amen for us as your children. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. We want to be good sons and good daughters that make you proud, our Heavenly Father. That's our hope, and that's our prayer, and we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's continue to worship.
I will rest in your promise. Yeah. And as we sing to our King this morning, as we sing to our King, Christ who is ever exalted, we come today with an ache in our hearts for our beloved friends, some even family in the nation of Israel, the people of the Middle East. We have a great love for Israel. And God gave us His word through the Jewish people, and God gave us the Messiah through the Jewish people. And whether in this country, and certainly in the place that God has given Israel, the state of Israel, the nation of Israel, is now at war. And if you, of course, have been keeping up with the news, you know that Israel was attacked on the Sabbath day, a holy day, a high day in Israel, attacked by brutal murderers, Islamic terrorists, brutal killers, evildoers, devil-filled madmen. As a result, there are now over 600 Israelis dead. To put that in context of the size of the country, I heard it this morning that that would be equal to about 20,000 dead in the United States, just percentage-wise. So imagine, this is their 911, if you will. They've been through it before, scenes like this, sad situations like this. And so Israel will respond, and Israel is at war. 600 dead, over 2,000 injured, precious children taken hostage, elderly women and men, women, soldiers. We don't know how many hostages exactly. We know there's over 24 Americans who have been kidnapped. And we don't know where they are. They're searching hospitals. I just was speaking to someone who'd been on the phone with some of our friends in Israel, and people that we know, that their husband or the fiancé is missing. And they're, can you imagine this? They're looking up and down. The hospitals are filled, and they can't handle the pressure that's going on with the hospitals, with the injuries and all the rest. But they're going up and down the rooms trying to find their loved ones. So if you put a face with this, and I know many people in that great land of Israel and have been many, many times, you know that this is real. And so we have a deep burden, and we will stand with Israel as they face this unprecedented attack. We'll get on our knees. We'll get on our knees as well as we stand in support of Israel. Genesis 12:3 says, God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And so as we just heard in this song, Christ our King, there will be justice, and may there be mercy to the people of Israel. Remember also Christians who live in Israel. There are Christians there who are Arab Christians or Palestinian Christians. And they're, in one sense, caught in the crossfire of this ideology, this evil ideology that is spreading hate and blood shed in the streets, and bombs and all the rest. It's a terrible, terrible situation. We will also, we have partners in Israel, missionary partners and people who are on the ground. And as we can, we'll financially support in a humanitarian way people in Israel, all in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying that this will be a wake-up call once again to the world. We should be alert that this could get much worse. This could be a trigger that sets something off much bigger. And remember, Israel is a democratic state in the midst of the Middle East, and they fight for freedom. That includes our freedom. Any freedom-loving person, we'll pray and stand with Israel in all of this. And so we will help them as we can. And we'll, of course, keep you apprised of how we are going to do that and serve them. But we certainly need to pray and give and support people that are in desperate need right now. There are refugees everywhere, people leaving the country if they can. So all that to say, it's time to pray. This is a call to prayer for all of us, and may God give His people revival in the midst of this terror and bring many people to the Messiah, Christ our King. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for Israel. and the peoples of the Middle East, because we know many innocent people will be in the face of this fury and fire that is about to be unleashed in this war. So we pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that this did not surprise you in any way, that you are Lord and King, that you are supreme, that you are sovereign over the nations of the world. And Lord, if this speaks to us of the last days and nation rising up against nation and the explosive events that will signal your coming, we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We know your word speaks to these issues. And so may we be faithful and true to you where we are, to pray, to serve, to give while we can. Lord, we do pray for the leaders of Israel, for Prime Minister Netanyahu and the leadership of that nation and the nations surrounding Israel. We pray for our president, President Biden, that you would help him to be strong and our nation to be strong in its support of Israel, knowing your blessing comes as a result upon any people who bless your people. So, Lord, we pray for our leaders as well. We pray for our country, knowing that we also are vulnerable. Amen. With so many who come to this country illegally now, we don't even know who's here. And we pray, oh God, that you would watch over your people and protect us and give us wisdom and strength as we face an unprecedented time in history. We do confess that you are our Lord and our King, and we sing to our King supreme. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All the hopeless come to Jesus. Let's sing it some more. Come on.
Come to Jesus. Let the dead come back to life. Can you hear the people singing? Hallelujah. All the hopeless come to Jesus. Let the dead come back to life. Can you hear the people singing? Hallelujah. Let your glory fill the city. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. Can you hear the people singing? Hallelujah. Let your glory fill the city. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. Can you hear the people singing? Hallelujah. Christ of me, be enthroned, be lifted high. Christ of me, be forever glorified. Oh, Christ of me, Christ of me, be enthroned, be lifted high. Christ of me, be forever glorified. Take
your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs, the third chapter. And today's subject in our Distinctives for Disciples series is on purpose for a purpose. Because every child of God is born on purpose and to live for the purposes of God in our lives. You are made for Him. You are not an accident, a product of chance or circumstance. Every life is a plan and a purpose of God. Amen. And the will of God is certainly an essential, because of all the questions I get through the years as a pastor, so often they come down to decisions that we make and how we make good decisions and godly decisions. How can we know? How can we find, fulfill, and follow God's will in our lives? There was a man who got in bed one dark night and And when he slipped under the covers, he reached over and touched his wife's face and hair. And then just a moment, he reached down and took her hand and held it for just a moment. And then he moved down towards her knee and was caressing her knee. And don't get nervous with the story. Caressing her knee, and then he stopped. And she said, "Why did you stop?" And he said, "I found the remote." Well, you don't have to live your life groping in the darkness. And even in dark days, like today in the world, there is God's way for every dark day in your life personally and in my life. And when we speak of God's guidance, we know that God guides in a general sense all the people, but I'm saying, according to God's word, that there is a personal promise for every one of us that God will lead us. And the will of God is not something that we have to do, it is something we get to do. I like to say that God will choose for you what you would choose for yourself if you had sense enough to choose it. And God's best is available for his children. He loves you and has this fantastic plan for your life. And so success in life, you want to know what success is? I like to say success is the progressive realization of the will of God for our lives. That's what real success is all about. Discovering and then doing the will of God from the heart. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very meaningful verses to me personally. I memorized them as a youth. In fact, I had a small bookmark with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 posted on a little bulletin board in my room in East Fort Worth when I was growing up as a teenager. Later on, when I yielded my life and gave my life to preach the gospel, it was these verses that prompted me and propelled me to say yes to the call of God in my life. When I came to Prestonwood to preach the trial sermon in view of a call in May of 1989, I chose Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as the text because none of us knew exactly what was going to happen in the future of this church, but God did. And so we trusted him and believed in his will. And through the years, I believed and received this word as a life verse or verses to me, and many of you have done the same. So I want you to read this verse. Many of you know this verse and have memorized these verses. But I want you to hear them today relative to God's will and purpose for your life, perhaps as you've never heard or read them before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen. To put it another way, the paraphrase, the message, gave it in this way. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. I like that. And then the New Living Translation puts it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek his will. And in the Living Bible it said, put God first in your life and all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So there it is. The will of God is not really a formula. Certainly it's not fate or circumstances or good fortune. But it is by faith that we find, follow, and fulfill the will of God. And like King David, the great king of Israel, once wrote in Psalm 40, verse 8, we say, I delight to do your will, O God. What a joy it is to live under the guidance of God. He said, I will guide you with my eye. In other words, he's watching over us as he guides us through life. So as I was looking at this verse once again, as I have, of course, many, many times, I divided it up into three premises and a promise. Three premises or three principles and a promise. So let's cover the three premises. first. The first premise is this: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So this is a positive premise, something that we do. It's personal and it is positive. And it's all about this relationship that we have with God. First and foremost, the will of God is about our character. Before it becomes about our conduct, what we do, it's the development of our character and our Christ-likeness, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. So God's will is not really a roadmap, as I would see it, but a relationship. As we're walking with the Lord and trusting in Him, and to do it, to trust in God with all our hearts, with all of my life, the heart being the center, the core of your being, representing the you of you, the inner you. So with all you have, with everything within us, we use the word like this: all, I love you with all my heart, or I'm going to put my heart into this job, I'm going to give everything I've got. That's the idea of trusting in the Lord with all your heart, to seek Him first in all things. After all, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And when you put first things first, when you give Him that place of preeminence, not just priority, but preeminence in your life, because ultimately this is about the Lordship of Jesus in each of us. Christ, who is Lord, who lives in us. But I was thinking about some of the ways, practically, personally, that we put God first. One, give God the first part of your day. Do you give God the first part of your day? When you get up in the morning, do you seek Him above all and before all? The psalmist said, again, King David, the great Jewish king, Psalm 5, verse 3 says, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto you and look up. So give the first part, the best part, in my opinion, of your day to the Lord before the world rushes in. I know it can be a challenge with all the chaos of getting kids out of bed and off to school if you're a young family, or just getting yourself out of bed some mornings. But get up before the day begins, before the sunlight bursts forth in a new day, and spend time with God practicing this principle of first things first, before business, before school, before the challenges of the day. Give God the first part of your day. The psalmist said in Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so when we desire the will of God, when we delight in the will of God, we start early seeking Him, getting our marching orders for the day, getting on His schedule and aligning our will with the will of God. Giving the first part of your day. Secondly, if you want to make sure that first things are first and you are giving all your heart to Him, putting Him first in your life, then give God the first day of your week. And the first day of the week is this day, the Lord's Day. Sunday is not the weekend. Amen. It's not the Jewish Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath was yesterday on Saturday. But as Christians, we worship on the Lord's Day. Why is it the Lord's Day? It's the resurrection day. The first day of the week. And the early Christians pivoted from the Sabbath to what we would call Sunday, the Lord's Day. And so it's the principle of giving the first day of the week. God will bless you and benefit you when you give the first day of your week to the Lord. Amen. And that means worshiping Him. I'm not going to give you a list of what you should do or what you shouldn't do on the Lord's Day, but I know above all things on the Lord's Day, we should make Him number one in all that we do. Sunday is not the last day of the week. It's the first day of a brand new week. And your week, I'm telling you, will go a lot better if you put Him first in your life. And start your week by worshiping Him, opening God's Word as you're doing right now, and being a part of the fellowship of God's church. We're seeing the de-churching of America. Church attendance is down, way, way down. It went exponentially, even more downward in the trends at the pandemic, and many people are not back. But there's some studies, there's some data now as to why people aren't going to church and why people haven't come back to church even after the COVID-19 scare. And you know the reason? It's not because most have abandoned their faith. There's some who have abandoned faith, and there's deconstruction of faith and apostasy going on. But that's really a small percentage of people who are de-churched today. It's not even that they're unchurched. They once were churched, but now they're de-churched. And do you know the number one reason, by far, that people are not going to church today? They say, I'm too busy. I just got out of the habit. We got things going on in our lives. I mean, there are trips to take, and there's kids, and there's ball games, and there's lake houses, and there's vacations, and we're tired at the end of the week, and we've just gotten out of the habit. I spoke with a person the other day in our community, and just finding out she was a Prestonwood member, and I said, you know, how are you liking church? She said, well, we're just not back yet. I don't know why. We just got out of the habit, but we're going to get there. The priority of a Christian is to worship God on God's day in God's church. And so I want to challenge you to get back in church if you're out. Maybe you thought somebody came today and you just said, I'm going to give church a chance. Glad you did. Glad you came here. And we hope you'll come back again and again and again. And if you're watching online, we know some of you are in other countries and other places and you can't come here, but I would challenge you to be in a local church. This is supplementary. This is, you know, what we call church online is really our evangelism to reach the world with Christ. But everybody should be worshiping. If you can, if you're physically able, you should be with God's people on God's day worshiping the Lord. And not only in the church, but be the church wherever you are and wherever you go. Number three, give God the first fruits of your income. The first part of your income. That's Proverbs 3:9. It's right there in the text below Proverbs 3:5-6. And that is, give the first fruit of your labor to the Lord. Amen. All of our possessions belong to Him. And the first fruits, that's agricultural language, of course, of the crops, of the possessions, of what you own and possess, the first belongs to God. First things first. What is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth of your income. No. A tithe is not the first tenth of our income, or a tenth of our income. It is the first tenth of our income. It's the principle of giving God first and all that we have and all that we own. And so not only do we bring ourselves and our families to God's church on God's day, but we bring our tithes and our offerings with us as God has commanded us. This is a principle. This is a premise. You want to know God's will. You want to obey God in the things that He's already showed you. Because let me say that God will not take us one step further than the measure of our obedience to Him. And if I'm disobedient to God, why should I expect Him to lead me to do anything? Why don't you do the thing right in front of you? Do what God has commanded and called all of us to do. Number four, give Him priority in every decision you make, both large and small. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5 says, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Before they gave their money, before they gave their possessions and practiced stewardship, which is lordship, they gave themselves to the Lord, to give yourself completely, all your heart to Jesus. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, give the first part of your day to the Lord. Give the first day of the week, the day the Lord has made to Him, and give the first part of your income to the Lord. And then give the first part of your life, the best part of your life. Give yourself first to the Lord above all else. And all those decisions that we're making, that they would honor God and please Him. And then fourthly, give Him the first devotion, the first love of your heart. Jesus spoke to a church at Ephesus who had left their first love. And He said, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. First love is emotional and passionate. You might call it the honeymoon love. It's the brush and the blush of first love. And we are to maintain that in our marriages, our love and our devotion to one another. If your love is not growing in your relationship with your husband or wife, it's probably dying. So we cultivate that relationship and that love, and we ought to be loving each other more and more. As we grow older, we shouldn't be growing colder. but more loving and warm and passionate towards one another and kind. And what is true in a human relationship is true in our relationship with God. Jesus said, not that you've lost your first love, but you've left it behind. And so we should give our first love for Jesus above all other loves in our lives, that we would love him. So let me ask you then, do you trust him with all your heart? To know him is to love him. And to love him is to trust him. And to trust him is to obey him and do what he tells us to do. Have you given your life completely to him? That's really what this message is about. It's about trusting the Lord with all your heart, knowing that he is faithful. We just sang it. We just said it. God, you are faithful. Many are untrustworthy, but God is faithful and trustworthy. He will never break a promise to you. You can trust God with everything and anything in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, premise number two, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. For it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. As I noted in the paraphrase of the message, said, don't try to figure things out on your own. It really means don't rely or depend upon your own knowledge or your own understanding. It doesn't say don't have understanding or no, don't have knowledge. It says don't lean on your own knowledge, on your own understanding. Ephesians 5:18, concerning the will of God, says understand what the will of the Lord is. So understanding is a part of this, but we don't lean on our own understanding. If you don't trust the Lord with all your heart, you probably are trying to figure out things in your own way. Am I right? It's when I don't really trust God for that situation that I start trying to figure it out for myself. And that's a recipe for failure, not success. That's losing, not winning, when it comes to the will of God. I believe in education. I actually liked school growing up. And I liked high school. I even liked middle school for the most part. I loved being in college and university. It's where Deb and I met out at Hardin-Simmons. I loved furthering my education. That was a privilege. Not many people in our family had the privilege of being college educated. Generations before us did not have the privilege that many of us had to get formal education. My own father dropped out of school in the eighth grade to go to work for his family. And some of you, you didn't have the opportunity to have a formal education. So we don't take that for granted. Whether it's personal education, self-educated, or whether formal education, I'm for it. Seminary, loved every second of it, really. We here at Prestonwood, we believe strongly in educating the next generation. We've established Prestonwood Christian Academy because we want boys and girls to grow up knowing Christ and the Word of God, to look at life through a biblical worldview. And our school is soaring, and our academic standards are excellent, and our biblical worldview is in place, and we're learning all the academia, but we're also teaching young people to know and love and trust God, to not lean on your own understanding. I hope you're a lifelong learner. We should be learning all the days of our lives. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. So I'm often studying, and not just for sermons, but we should be reading books and listening to podcasts. I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to enroll in a Bible class or a course in college outside of your expertise. Do something new. Learn something new. Get all the knowledge that you can God's way. But don't lean on your own understanding when it comes to making decisions regarding the will of God. Listen and learn, because we don't rely on what we know. There are lots of things we don't know. And if you think you're, you know, it's like the old saying, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you're in the wrong room. Right? There's always more to learn, and we don't know what we don't know. So we can't lean on our understanding. We can't see the future. We don't know what may be coming. So what should we do with knowledge? We should treat knowledge with humility. Not with arrogance. I'm smarter than you. I'm smarter than God. No, we treat knowledge with humility because all knowledge really comes from God. And what we need is wisdom. And when we pray and ask God for wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. It's seeing life as God sees life and living it accordingly. So how do we have wisdom? It starts with asking God for wisdom. Jane tells us, in the midst of adversity in life, in the midst of the problems that we face and crisis in life, what are we to do when we don't know what to do? When we're so hurt we can't even breathe a prayer, what are we to do? We're to cry out to God for wisdom. And God says, I'll give you wisdom when you don't understand. And then we have God's word, because God's word is the guidebook. It's like a, I was thinking today, the Bible is like a passport for us to live in a foreign land. This world isn't our home, but God has given us a passport. And in God's word, we find God's will. God's word is God's will. And God's will is God's word. Get it? God's will is God's word. God's word is God's will. And so we have his word to us that we might learn to depend upon him and not ourselves, and to ask for the wisdom in his word. And that brings me to the third principle or premise, which is walk in his will. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways. So in your way and on your way, walking in the way. The Bible says, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And I might add, not only the steps, but the stops are ordered by the Lord. Because we are trusting in him, and we're all in with him, and we begin walking right into the will of God. This is the way I see the will of God. Obey God every step of the way. It's not so much about what is the will of God 5 years from now, 10 years from now, long-range plans, that's fine. But really the will of God is not about the next 15 years, it's about the next 5 minutes, the next 15 minutes. And as we are walking with him, what happens is the providences of life begin to work in our lives. What is the providence? It's the hand, the invisible hand of God working and weaving his way in our lives. And so providences come, circumstances that are controlled by the hand of God. And God brings people into our lives, or decisions and opportunities and open doors and closed doors. As we're walking, what did Paul say? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Here's a little formula, if you want a formula. It's a biblical one. Presentation plus transformation equals revelation. Presentation. You present your life unreservedly to the Lord. Or that decision, you give it to God. Lord, I give this to you. And then God, through his word, through his will, begins to work in your mind. He gives you mental clarity and spiritual focus, so you begin to see. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word, O Lord, is a light into my path and a lamp into my feet. And so we're taking one step at a time. He lights the way. He opens the door. We walk in it. We'll hear a voice behind you, the psalmist said, saying, walk in this way. And so we keep walking. As we keep walking in the will of God, we keep doing the will of God. The will of God is not so much allow us finding the will of God, but the will of God finding us. Amen. As we walk with him. So presentation, present your body as a living sacrifice, plus transformation, the renewing of your mind, equals revelation. that you may prove what is that good, perfect will of God for your life. Here's what I know. God's will is good and perfect and acceptable. He leads us not only by providences in this way, but what I would call promptings. Promptings given to us by the Holy Spirit. You have a counselor within. The Spirit of Christ, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit lives within each of us. And Romans 8 tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So there's objective leading in God's Word. One preacher said 99% of the will of God is above your neck. So there's objective knowledge, but then there's the subjective, and I do believe the Spirit of God leads us and prompts us along the way.
Amen.
I took a run up in Colorado on a short vacation of our family about 30 years ago. And while I was on the way running, I was burdened about, we were trying to expand the church at our former location, and we had plans on the table, and we were trying to figure things out. And God prompted me. God spoke to me, not out loud. It was louder than that. He prompted me by the Holy Spirit and said, "You're underestimating what I want to do with this church. You're limiting what I want to do with this church." And I immediately finished the run, came back in, got the family. We drove home. I gathered the men of our church together, the leadership of our church, and we began to pray and seek God as to what we should do. And the result of everything you see around us today is in obedience to the will of God that was prompted in the pastor one day on a run. Not say it wouldn't have happened in another way in another place. I'm just saying that was the prompting that was in me. Yes, I believe God prompts not just pastors, that God prompts people who seek Him and pray and ask God to show the way. And He will show you the way. So you've got a decision to make, or you've got a choice to make, or a career challenge, or a financial issue, or a relational thing. You can know and do God's will by just walking in His will every day and trusting Him with all of your heart and leaning not unto your own understanding. So trust the Lord, lean on the Lord, walk in His will, and here's the incredible promise. And He will make the path straight. He will clear the way. This is the end of baseball season. Go Rangers. But it's the start of football season. It's been going a while. And if you're a football fan, you know that games are typically won and lost, not by the stars, you know, the great wide receivers or quarterbacks, but games are won in the trenches. And when you look at the offensive line of a football team, and really all the blockers on a football team make the plays go and the team win. And so it's beautiful if you like offensive football to see all the blocks being executed and the movement in a strategic play, a winning play, and so the running back or the wide receiver gets the ball, the blocking downfield opens the door to winning and scoring. So think of it this way, all you football fans. God is downfield blocking for you. He's got a play, He's got a plan. And He is clearing a path. That's what this word means. He's straightening the path. He's clearing the path. He's opening the door of opportunity for you. All you need to do is run with all your might. Hashtag winning. Because this is how we win, when we let God lead the way in our lives and just follow Him. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I got to do is follow. When we purchased this property, 150 acres here, it was just a field, really. And we came out here after we purchased this property, and we had a groundbreaking for these facilities. And when we said, let's just don't get shovels. Here we go. Let's don't just get some shovels. Let's get some bulldozers. It's the Preston Wood way. Let's get some bulldozers and let's form the shield of the church, which we still see on our logo, our shield of the church. Let's Let's get form the people in a shield, and let's get a couple of bulldozers to etch a cross in the middle of that shield, the cross that in which we glory, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about those bulldozers many times and how God cleared a path for us in this place. How God bulldozed the way for believers like you and me who were willing to trust God with all our hearts and not lean on our understanding. Some of it really didn't make a lot of sense at the time. But that he would clear the path and clear the way. And look what God has done. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, put him first in everything you do. And he will direct your path. Would you bow your head with me in prayer and pray a prayer? Those of you watching online, pray a prayer like this that a friend taught me to pray years ago. Lord, your will, anywhere, anytime, any cost. Would you pray that? It's a daring prayer, but it is a prayer that believes and trusts God. Lord, your will, anywhere, anytime, any cost, for my life, for our family, for our children, our grandchildren. Lord, your will, anywhere, anytime, any cost. Make that commitment today. I'm so glad that I knelt as a young man, believing and trusting God and what God's promises was in this verse, and said, Lord, have your way, have your will in my life. You can have all that there is of me. Pray a prayer like that today and watch God do what only God can do in your life. If you're not saved, it's God's will that you be saved. We know that. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All includes all of you, everyone who needs Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is calling you. And it is God's will that you be saved, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Not this afternoon, but this moment. That you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He has a plan for your life, but you see, all of us, our sins have broken the plan of God, and we're, as a result, broken people. God saw our brokenness, and he loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his only son, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for all of our sins, your sins. And then he rose again on the third day. And if you will put your trust in Christ, if you will trust in Christ as your Savior and follow him as your Lord, he will come into your life, forgive your sins, and you can have a relationship with God now and forever, and you will not be on your own in life anymore. But God will lead you as he loves you forward and take you to heaven when he comes for you. So pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I trust you with all my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And if you're praying that prayer, promise to follow him, beginning today, openly and publicly, and live for him in the power of his Spirit all the days of your life. Do his will and live an abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please, everyone standing? If you're watching online, text the number 747-88, 747-88, and text the word Jesus, and you can connect with us, and we will counsel you and encourage you and walk with you as you begin your journey with Jesus. In the room upstairs, we have ministers, and on the lower level right here, you want to receive Christ, you're trusting Christ as your Savior. Are you doing it with all your heart? Then bring your life forward. Come forward and say, I'm all in. I'm not going to stand back. I'm not going to stay back any longer. But I'm going to go forward as Jesus commanded and openly follow Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid to follow Jesus. So come. He'll give you the strength to do it. There are others, you're a believer, but you want to belong to Prestonwood. As God is leading you to join this church, we invite you. We welcome you to come today. Lead the way. Set the example. You've prayed about it. You've thought about it. You've sought God's will concerning your church membership. Now's the time for some of you to move and make that decision today.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.